39 this evening, Genesis chapter number 39, and if you look there and hold your place and turn back to chapter number 37, I'll read just a couple of verses by way of introduction from the 37th chapter. You remember chapter 38 almost serves as a parenthetical, if you will, dealing with the situation there with Judah and Tamar. We looked at that in a previous message, but it's been since chapter 37 that we looked at the life of Joseph, and as we looked at that passage at the end of chapter number 37. In fact, as we look there, that was all the way back on July the 16th, and so it's August 20th today, and so it's been several weeks since we've studied the latter part of Genesis chapter 37. Remember, it was in that passage of Scripture that Jacob had given Joseph the responsibility to go and to check on his brothers, and his brothers decided that they were going to kill him, and then they thought that, well, instead of killing him, we'll sell him to be a slave, and they'll be able to make some money. And we find that they did just that. And as you note, at the end of the chapter, they come back to their father, Jacob, and they bring that coat of many colors, which was so obvious as to who that belonged to. Of course, Jacob gave that to Joseph. And as they give this coat that they had dipped in the blood of a kid of the goats that they killed, they said, "This have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no." At that particular time, according to verse number 33 at the end of the verse, Jacob reached the conclusion that I think the boys hoped that they would reach, that he would reach, and that is that Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. He believed that Joseph was dead. But in fact, Joseph was not dead. He was on his way to Egypt to become a slave. And the Bible tells us in verse number 36, and the Midianites sold him, Joseph, into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. As you begin verse number 1 of chapter 39, you read basically the same statement where the Bible says that Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. The Bible says that the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. This evening, as we look at this portion of Scripture, the dialogue of Genesis chapter number 39 actually reads pretty quickly. As you get into the chapter and you see what's going on, it reads very quickly. However, I want to point out for us this evening, by way of introduction to this particular chapter, that we would understand that the events that are recorded in Genesis 39 really don't happen quickly. The events in Genesis chapter number 39 that Joseph served with Potiphar before the accusation of Potiphar's wife and all of those things, he served there for about 10 years. And the reason that we know that, if you consider and just follow along with this line of reasoning by way of introduction, again, it's just so that we can understand his faithful service and that it was a lengthy time in which he was there. According to Genesis chapter number 37, when we're first introduced to Joseph, he's 17 years old. And we find that those events go very quickly there with regard to what's recorded in chapter 37. And then we find in Genesis chapter number 41, after the dreams of Pharaoh, and they call for Pharaoh, or they call for Joseph, Pharaoh calls for Joseph, and Joseph interprets the dreams, and he provides him with counsel after the interpretation, and we find that Pharaoh says, this is the one that we need to set in a place of leadership. And the Bible tells us in Genesis 41 and verse 46 that Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And so we see that we would go from 17 to 30, from chapter number 37 to chapter number 41. And we know that within that period of time, Joseph was forgotten in prison for 2 full years. According to Genesis 41 and verse number 1, after he'd interpreted the dreams of the butler and the baker, we find that he says to the butler, "Remember me," and the butler forgot him, and it says that it was 2 full years, that, and then that's when Pharaoh dreamed a dream. And so as you look at this, some Bible scholars would say that it's as much as 13 years that he would serve there. I think when you look at the calculations, no doubt I think a conservative estimate would be that Joseph was serving in the house of Potiphar for at least 10 years. Now, when you read Genesis chapter number 39, you may not get that when you're just reading through it because it goes very quickly as to what's taking place. Understand that Joseph did not become the overseer to have the position that he did after just 1 week of working for Potiphar. He was a slave that was purchased. And so there's a period of time, a process that goes through, and we find that Joseph is in that place. We've titled the message this evening, as you look at the bulletin there, "The Lord was with Joseph." And I want to point out, as we look at Genesis 39, the statements that are made. We read verse number 2 already. Notice the Bible says, "And the Lord was with Joseph." Notice in verse number 3, the Bible says, "And his master," that's Potiphar, "saw that the Lord was with him." We'll come back to that thought here in just a moment as we get into the message. And the Bible says that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Skip down, if you will, and look at verse number 21. This is after the accusation and the imprisonment, and now Joseph finds himself in prison. And the Bible says in verse number 21, "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison." Again, in verse 23, the Bible says that the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand. Why? Because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. We see four times in really a short period of time, looking as far as Bible verses are concerned, 23 verses. You could read chapter 39 in just a few minutes, and that's just at a really leisurely type of rate. And you read it in just a few minutes, and you find that on four occasions, God points out to us, the Holy Spirit of God, through the inspiration, we find that four times the human penman writes that the Lord was with Joseph. Now that's precious to me. Why? Because the Lord's with us. He's with us. See, we can begin to look at the passage of Scripture, and we can see when Joseph is there in the house of Potiphar, and he's made an overseer, and he has this position. Even though he's a servant, he attains this position, and he's working, and so on and so forth. And we can say, okay, I can see the Lord with Joseph there. But then Joseph is in prison after being falsely accused. And even there, the Bible reminds us that the Lord is with him. The Lord is with him. I would submit to you that even though the Holy Scripture does not tell us in these words in chapter number 37, while Joseph was down in that pit, God was with him. The Lord was with him. See, this evening we have this wonderful promise from the book of Hebrews in the 13th chapter, where the Bible says that God will never leave us nor forsake us. Isn't that a wonderful Bible truth? It is I read this years ago, that a preacher was preaching and made a comment about that verse of Scripture and about it being a wonderful promise, and an elderly saint of God interrupted the preacher and said, "Preacher, it's more than a promise, it's a reality." And I'm thankful for that, amen? It's definitely a promise, but it's a reality in our lives that the Lord is with us. And as we begin to think about that and using that as the title for our message this evening, I find that the truth that God is with us and the truth of how the Lord was with Joseph, and Joseph was living in the presence of God. See, the reality this evening is that the Lord is with us whether we live every day aware of that truth or not. What do I mean by that? Well, every day of your life, you can live being aware, keenly aware, of the fact that the Lord is with you. And I would submit to you that as we live that way, that it will impact the way that we live our lives. Why? Because the Lord is with us. I would say that we can go through life and sometimes get busy and get distracted and maybe not really be mindful of the fact, not that we've forgotten the truth, but not really live in the presence of God. And we find this evening that the truth of this statement that we read four times in this single chapter of God's Word would reveal to us, and I believe that it impacts us to understand there's great comfort in this truth. God's with us. What did the psalmist say in Psalm 23? "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me." thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And we find that the truth of God's presence and being in that the Lord is with us and He's with us everywhere we go, it brings comfort. It really does. I'm so thankful that every place we go with the Lord. It's comforting. Remember the truth of Jesus giving the Great Commission in Matthew 28, the way that it's recorded there, and lo, I am with you always, right? That's the promise that He gives at the end of the Great Commission, as we often refer to it as in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, amen. This evening, that truth, as comforting as it is, I believe this evening is also a convicting truth. The Lord is with us. You know, there are certain things that we do in life as human beings. There are tendencies that we have, and there are certain things that we will do, and there are certain things that we will not do based upon whose presence we're in. Have you ever found that to be the case? And we find that as we live life and we think about observing the behavior of children, oftentimes we can see that children may behave a certain way in the presence of their parents, while they may behave a different way in the absence of their parents. I have found, and no doubt you have found as well, that there's an amazing impact that takes place on the highways of America when there is the presence of a state trooper, a state police officer, a county police officer, a sheriff, or whomever it might be. There is an impact that the presence of that particular vehicle has on those driving around you. Have you seen it to be the case? Absolutely. I'm driving down the road. Many times it's happened, and I'm going the speed limit. I'm not breaking the law, and I'm driving, and all of a sudden there's a police officer up ahead, and people are slamming on their brakes, and they're slowing down, and they're not even going the speed limit, and I say something like this: you're at least allowed to drive the speed limit. Don't mind the fact that there's a police officer there. Like, you can still drive. But what happens? Why do they hit their brakes? Well, for many of them, it's because they're speeding. They don't want to get a ticket. So the presence of that law enforcement officer has an impact on the behavior. And this evening, listen, when we live in the presence of God, I believe that's why we read Genesis 39 the way that we do. There's a great contrast between Genesis 39 and Genesis 38. You understand this evening that Judah and Joseph are brothers. Their behavior, as is recorded in Genesis 38, and their behavior, as is recorded in Genesis 39, is so opposite. And I believe that a key is the fact that the Bible tells us that Joseph was living, he understood, he was aware of the presence of God Almighty. Understand with me that even as Joseph would live in a foreign land, in pagan territory, that Joseph understood the presence of God. Whither can I flee from His presence? What's the answer? I can't. And by the way, that's comforting and it's convicting. Though Joseph was sold into slavery, though he finds himself in Egypt land, in a place that's idolatrous, polytheistic, we find that Joseph was living in the very presence of God. As we look at this chapter this evening, I want you to notice in the first several verses of Genesis chapter 39, number one, notice with me, Joseph the overseer. Joseph the overseer. The Bible says in verse number 2, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. The Bible says that his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand and knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. In these first six verses of Genesis 39, we see Joseph as the overseer. I believe that as you look at this particular passage of Scripture, you begin to see Joseph in this position, that Joseph is walking with the Lord, that Joseph is living according to the principles by which he had been taught. And we've already looked at some things with regard to the character of Joseph in previous messages, and we find that the Bible tells us that the Lord was with Joseph in verse number 2, but I want you to notice the statement in verse number 3 when the Bible says that his master saw that the Lord was with him. Isn't that an interesting statement? As you would think about Potiphar observing the life and the behavior of Joseph, and Joseph, a man that was living for and walking with the Lord his God, that the Bible tells us that the Lord is with him and that he was a prosperous man. And now we find that the Bible says that Potiphar, this Egyptian man, this man that was an officer of Pharaoh, he was captain of the guard, he recognizes, he sees in Joseph that this was a man that the Lord was with. That's impactful. It's important for us to understand as we look at this particular truth and think about the observation that Pharaoh makes and looking at the life and the behavior and looking at the blessings, he reaches this conclusion that the Lord was with him. And I wonder this evening that as we think about the life of Joseph and as even we would examine our own lives, I wonder if others can see that the Lord is with us. I wonder this evening how many people would look at your life and look at my life and say, the Lord is with them. Hold your place here and turn to the book of Acts in the 4th chapter, if you will, and notice what the Bible tells us, a passage that many of us would be familiar with this evening. But in Acts chapter number 4, as we look at this portion of Scripture and look at Peter standing up, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, speaking and giving answer to these religious leaders in the early days of the church being established, we find that Peter gets up and he's filled with the Holy Ghost, according to verse number 8. And in Acts chapter number 4, the Bible tells us that he's really giving this message. Notice he says in verse number 9, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. In verse number 12, he makes it very, very plain to these religious leaders, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Notice verse 13, though. The Bible says, now when they, that's the religious leaders, those that had questioned the actions of and are examining the disciples, the Bible says that when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. Notice what the Bible says, that they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Listen, I believe this evening that you, if you spend time with the Lord, it's going to be obvious. It's going to be evident. It's going to come out, so to speak. Does that make sense this evening? And we think about the truth of Joseph living in the presence of God and walking with the Lord. And this Egyptian man, this man that is in this culture and in this society that's a polytheistic, idolatrous nation, we find that he makes this statement and he says that he saw that the Lord was with him. We find that as Joseph is living there in Egypt, as he's serving there in Potiphar's house, that Potiphar makes this observation. Notice the end of verse number 3. And the Bible says that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Understand with me this evening that this is not something that just happened by chance. There is a biblical truth, principle, that is established throughout God's Word, and that is that God's blessing and a favor is upon them that walk uprightly, those in whom God delights. Yes, I understand that the New Testament tells us that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance, and that is a biblical truth that we understand within the context of that truth that is being given. But I would say, broadly speaking, God's blessing and God's favor is upon those who walk with God. Amen? The Bible tells us later in the book of Deuteronomy in the 11th chapter that Moses is standing before the children of Israel and he says to them, I give you this day a blessing and a curse. And we find here that the Bible says that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Understand that it was not that Joseph was somehow just, man, he's just everything he touches is gold. You ever hear somebody use that phraseology? Seems like everything they touch is just gold. How about they just walk with God and God's blessing them? And we see here with Joseph that as we look at his life and we look at the observation of this man, Potiphar, that he says, I see, his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. In Deuteronomy 11, when the Bible speaks about that blessing and that curse, it makes it abundantly clear as to the way by which we can receive either the blessing or the curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. This evening, as we look at Joseph the overseer, and as we look at this life of Joseph, and we look at his the observation of the master of Potiphar, and what he observed and what he saw in the life of Joseph, Joseph was a man that was walking with God and had God's favor upon his life. Listen, this evening, do you want the blessing of God in your life? You want God's favor in your life? I do. I desire God's blessing in my life. I desire God's favor. I want God to be pleased with me, to delight in us. And we find this evening that Joseph is in that position. Notice that the result of this in verse number 4, the Bible says, and Joseph found grace in his sight. And it says that he served him. Now I want you to think about that statement just for a moment. And think about where Joseph is. Think about the circumstances that have led to Joseph being in this place as being a slave, a servant in the house of Potiphar. He simply obeyed the commandment of his father when his father said, go and check on your brothers. Back in Genesis 37, we've studied through that portion of Scripture in previous weeks, and we find that Joseph was simply obedient to that which he had been told to do, and he finds himself, as soon as he arrives, remember, the brothers see him as he's coming from a distance, that coat of many colors was a distinction, and we find that they begin to conspire against him, and as soon as he arrives in their presence, they're stripping him out of that coat of many colors, and they put him in that pit, and they sell him into slavery. Joseph is here in this place. And the Bible says that he, Joseph, served him, Potiphar. I want you to think about that. Sometimes when circumstances don't go the way that we'd like for them to go, I think this evening we could say for Joseph, if we were to look at it strictly from a human perspective, change batteries real quick. Sorry, stand by. This is a commercial. The people online have no idea what I'm saying. Isn't that hilarious? They'll know in a second. We'll tell them. This was just a test, Brother Jim, to see how long these batteries would last. I know that when there's one bar, I got to change it. Is that better?
Am I on now? Can you hear me? All right, praise the Lord. I ran out of batteries for the online audience, and so we get that fixed up and back on. Praise the Lord. And what was I saying, Holly?
You don't know. And the reality is that you let me know that I ran out of batteries. But as we look here at this portion of Scripture, we would have a pity party. We would, woe is me. Have you heard anyone make that kind of statement? Man, they just get all kinds of sideways and they just want to give up on life. And we hear this phrase a lot in our society today. You hear it all the time. It's not fair. You ever heard somebody say that? Guess what I'll say? Life ain't fair. Whoever told you life was going to be fair? If you're looking at it strictly from a human perspective, understand how I'm saying that this evening, because the reality is that my God and your God is omniscient and omnipotent. He has a plan, and we know that He's in control. And so we don't have to run around with this perspective that's so prevalent in our society today of woe is me, and this isn't fair, and can I tell you what happened, and we just want to fold our arms and have a pity party and do nothing. Joseph served him. And I would submit to you that he served him cheerfully and he served him wholeheartedly. Why? Because of what he observed in Joseph. There's no way this was the least of his servants. There's no way that Joseph was at the bottom of the list of the one that's always got a problem, the one that I always have to, hey, what are you doing? Come on, let's go. No. Joseph was serving cheerfully and wholeheartedly. Why do I say that? Well, the Bible tells us in verse number 4 that he found grace in his sight. It tells us that Potiphar made him, Joseph, overseer over his house. Now, that's a prominent position. And the Bible goes on to say that he, and all that he had, he put into his hand. Now, that's pretty significant. That's not something that you just do without making some proper observations as to the character and the integrity of the individual by whom you would place as being a steward or an overseer. And this man Potiphar, he puts these things, Joseph found grace in his sight, he makes him overseer. Notice the Bible says, and it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, notice what the Bible says in verse number 5, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Isn't that awesome? Joseph was so faithful and God's blessing was so obvious and so evident that even the house of this Egyptian Potiphar was blessed because of Joseph. And the Bible says, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. Verse number 6. The extent by which Joseph had this place of stewardship or being overseer. It says that he, speaking of Potiphar, left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And it says this, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. Now, how many of you would be ready to put that kind of trust and confidence in someone? You'd have to make sure you knew who they were. You'd have to make sure you understood some things about their character, right? To the point where he said he didn't even know, he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. He committed it all to Joseph. Why? Because Joseph was faithful. Because Joseph was trustworthy. Because Joseph was a man of integrity. But remember why Joseph is there. And remember that Joseph is in this position and he's been promoted to being overseer over the house of Potiphar, this man. And the Bible concludes in the end of verse number 6 that Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. We see the blessing of God in the life of Joseph. I want you to look at a couple of New Testament principles as we think about Joseph's behavior in this position as being a servant that was promoted to being an overseer. Turn to the book of Ephesians, if you will, and we'll look at Ephesians and Colossians, sister passages of Scripture that really give the same truth with a little different perspective on it. And I think it's important that we look at both aspects this evening of what's given to the church in Ephesus and also the church in Colossae when we consider this position, Joseph the overseer. He was purchased as a slave, as a servant. He did not have the whole canon of Scripture like you and I have. Amen? In fact, he didn't even have the book of Genesis, right? I mean, he only had whatever had been passed down from Adam and Abraham and so on and so forth. And we find that Genesis, the book that we're studying here this evening, is recording his life written by Moses at some time way in the future from this particular event. And we find here that Joseph, however, was living a life that is consistent with biblical truth that you and I have the privilege of being able to study and be aware of. Notice in Ephesians chapter number 6, in Ephesians 6, and beginning in verse number 5, notice what the Bible says, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart." Notice these words, "as unto Christ." Now, we so much this evening do not have a servant-master type of relationship as Joseph did in Genesis 39. He's promoted to being an overseer, but you'll see as the chapter progresses, he's still a servant. There was no place for him to even give a defense when the accusation was brought forth. Why? He's still looked at as being a servant. He's promoted as overseer, but notice we don't have that servant-master relationship so often today in our society. I've often looked at this portion, the one in Colossians, and dealing with the subject of really an employer-employee type relationship and understanding principles that would be applicable to us today in our lives. And notice that phrase at the end of verse number 5, "as unto Christ." Verse number 6, "not with eye service as men-pleasers, but as the servants of Christ," notice the Bible says, "doing the will of God from the heart." Anyone, don't say it out loud. I'm not going to get you up here and tell me names or anything. But any of you ever work with anyone that would be a man pleaser that would do a task with eye service? What do you mean by that? Someone that all of a sudden, the boss is coming, and they're going to look very dutiful in doing what they're supposed to do. Why? Because the boss is here. You've heard the phraseology, the terminology that we'll use, that idiom that when the cat's away, what is it? The mice will play, right? You've heard that. You've heard people say something like this: it's good enough for government work. That's not real popular here in Northern Virginia because a whole lot of folks are government employees, but you've heard the phrase, no doubt, and some people would have that idea of mailing it in and just kind of, you know, doing enough to get by. No, that's not how God's people should work. The Bible says that we do it as unto Christ. The Bible says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. As I look at Joseph and I look at his testimony in Genesis 39 verses 1 through 6, Joseph the overseer, I see that he's a man that was doing the will of God from the heart. He was serving the Lord. He was understanding, listen, the circumstances that led to him being in the house of Potiphar were outside of his control. But he was going to still live for God. Sometimes the employer that you have may not be the employer you wish you had. I'm trying to choose my words carefully. But if God has you in that place, He has you there for a reason. And you know, God's people, Christians, ought to be the hardest working people on the job. We ought to have a testimony of being a hardworking person. Why? We do it as unto Christ. We're not trying to just be men pleasers. We're not just going to act the part when the boss comes around. Listen, if Joseph behaved that way, I don't believe he would ever be promoted to being overseer. He never would be promoted to having all of that responsibility that he had, that Potiphar was willing to place all of those things into the hands of Joseph. Not a chance. We find that the Bible tells us, look over at the book of Colossians, if you will, in chapter number 3, same truth. We'll see that there's a little different aspect that's given that I think is important for us to understand with regard to this subject matter. In Colossians 3 and verse 22, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Notice again, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And then a verse that we're familiar with in verse number 23, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily. Now, I used the phrase earlier that Joseph served him, as we find in the text of Scripture, and I said this, that I believe that Joseph served him cheerfully, and I said that I believe he served him wholeheartedly. And here we read that the Bible says, whatsoever ye do, do it heartily. You ever experience someone that's all in, that's working? I mean, they're putting every ounce of effort into it. They're doing it heartily. I mean, not just trying to get by with the minimum. They're doing it heartily. And the Bible says this, the verse in verse number 23, notice the reason that these truths are given to the people of God, that we do it as to the Lord and not unto men. You know what happens sometimes? Our perspective is wrong. Sometimes our vision is blurred, if I could use that terminology. Sometimes, if we're not careful, we think that we're working for this employer, when as a child of God, we're really working for the Lord. Listen, if Joseph is focused on Potiphar, it's going to be a whole lot more challenging than if he's focused on God. But when we're focused on God and we understand that we're doing whatsoever we're doing as to the Lord and not unto men, all of a sudden our vision becomes clear and we no longer have that difficulty. Why? Because I'm focused on doing this for God. And we begin to think about this truth in this aspect, and we think about it with regard to our service for the Lord and whatever place that we find ourselves in, that we're doing it as unto the Lord. When I was a Bible college student, I remember having a job, and I worked for Payless Shoe Store, and some of you would remember that place. It's not around anymore, and we had all kinds of fun little statements about Payless, and I probably know all of them, and so I enjoyed being able to work there. It paid my way through college. But I remember making a recommendation to the district supervisor with regard to hiring another college student. They hired that college student based upon my recommendation and really my work ethic. No one would even know I don't even know if Holly would know who the individual is. But that individual went to work at Payless and was a terrible worker. I mean terrible, to the point that he got fired and it looked bad on me. And here's what the district supervisor, the supervisor that hired the individual, I don't want any more recommendations of anyone from that place. They began to have this perspective: Christians are the worst people to hire. I wouldn't want to hire a Christian. These are the words that I heard. I've heard people in other contexts make that statement. I've heard people that have rented out houses and have been taken advantage of, not by lost people, but by Christians, fellow church members. It ought not be. In reality, the truth is that the believer, the Christian, ought to have that reputation as being the hardest working person on the job. Why? Because they're doing it as unto the Lord. And this evening, as we look at Joseph the overseer, and we look at this perspective in these first six verses of Genesis chapter number 39, we see that God is with him. I hope this evening that we are aware of God's presence in our life. I hope that we understand this evening that I can't go anywhere without the Lord. It's comforting. It's convicting. I hope this evening that there are some people that you work with, that you live by, that you come in contact with, that could look at your life and could look at my life and say, the Lord is with them. The Lord's with them. They may not say it exactly that way. They may say, there's something different about that person. And they don't know what it is. They can't quite put their thumb on it that it's the Lord is with them, but they can look and they can say, something's different about that person. What's different about you? The Lord is my Savior. And listen, I don't work based upon the work ethic of the culture in which I live and co-workers that I have. No, I'm working as unto the Lord. By the way, when you do that, you please the Lord, but you will face some backlash. You have some other employees, co-workers that will maybe poke fun at, why do you do all of these things and you're just trying to blah, 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 whatever. No, we do it unto the Lord. I wonder this evening, the perspective that we have with regard to the duties that God gives us. And when we find ourselves in a position, even as Joseph found himself in this position in the house of Potiphar, with some events and circumstances that were outside of his control, that he was a man that I believe, as we look at the text of Scripture, served cheerfully and wholeheartedly. Oh, that God would help us. I would tell you this evening, and I think for most of you, I know you well enough that you would tell me as well, that really nothing has happened in my life or in your life that's as bad as what happened to Joseph in Genesis 37. But Joseph still kept a perspective that was God-honoring and allowed him to get into the house of Potiphar and have a shining testimony for the Lord. As we continue studying through Genesis 39, we'll find Joseph not only as the overseer, but we'll see Joseph as the accused. And we'll notice that even in that portion of Scripture, that Joseph kept his eyes on God and Joseph did what was right. This evening, I hope that God would help us to gain this perspective of Joseph as the overseer and take some of these principles and apply them in our lives that we too might have the blessing and favor of God upon our lives. Listen, God's blessing and favor doesn't come by accident. It doesn't come by random chance. It comes as we humbly follow the Lord in obedience to His word. And God's blessing and God's favor is in our lives. Let me say this before we close. Not everything that we look at in life as a blessing is truly a blessing. There are some things that you could look at as a blessing that really could be a curse. And there are some things that you could look at in life that you might think is a curse that's really a blessing. Our ways are not His ways. Amen? His thoughts are not our thoughts. He transcends us. And sometimes if we're not careful, we have the perspective of our society when we're looking at and seeking to evaluate blessings and cursings, but we need to have God's perspective to understand what's taking place. I'm so thankful that our God is a good God. He desires that we'd walk with Him and that we'd serve Him, and He will bless as we walk in obedience to Him. Let's pray together. Father, we love You. We thank You for loving us. We thank You for Your word. Thank You for the example of Joseph. And as we see Joseph in these first few verses of Genesis 39 as the overseer, we're convicted by the testimony that Joseph has, even in the midst of all the circumstances that surround him being in this place. And God, I pray that You'd help us to lift our eyes unto Thee. Lord, help us to have a proper biblical perspective with regard to the place where You have us, to those circumstances that have brought us to the place that we are. Help us, Lord, to serve You, Lord, as unto Christ, not unto men. Help us in our daily work as we find ourselves, wherever we find ourselves, that what we do is for You, Lord. Help us to have that perspective. Help us, Lord, to live our lives in such a way that Your blessing and Your favor would be upon us. And God, I pray that others would see it. Just as Potiphar observed the life of Joseph and saw that the Lord was with him, I pray that others, as they observe our lives, would see that there's something different about us and that that difference is Christ. Would You move and work in these moments of invitation? Lord, help us to be doers of the word and not hearers only, and we'll thank You for it. In Christ's name we pray. Would you stand with